We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
All right, back here on the Joe Rose Show. It is the 8 o'clock hour coming up. 2 hours in so far. Dave Hyden with me this morning. Joe Rose off. Obviously, our show very heartfelt today of everything that happened yesterday at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Parkland, Florida. I say it like we're doing a national show at this point. Ari Odzer was on the scene yesterday and has been all over the story also for NBC6. We bring him on. I spoke to him a couple minutes last night about why we're going to have this radio show this morning and why I'm bringing him on this morning. Ari, first off, good morning on this waking up to what you'd hope to be, I'm sure, a nightmare and not something that actually happened yesterday. But good morning and thanks for a couple minutes.
Yeah, you know, Zach, hi, Dave. Would be great to be talking about the Heat, right?
But, right, yep.
You know, my Heat and my Gators both lost last night. And it's so meaningless. It's just amazing how that means so little today. Because I dropped my son off at school. He's a freshman at Crop High about an hour ago right now. And I looked at him a little bit longer this morning. I looked, and he's getting out of the car, you know, and I said, I love you, Mike. And he gets out of the car and he walks away. And I'm thinking about all the parents who did that yesterday at Stoneman Douglas High School who didn't see their kids come home. And that reality is so hard to fathom. You know, I'm just choking up just thinking about that because it's a reality that has happened, obviously, many times in this country, unfortunately, right? It's like it's so commonplace that we almost become numb to it, but it's never happened in our backyard. And that school, Marjory Stoneman Douglas, is a place that I'm very familiar with because I was just there last week. I was there last Thursday shooting a wonderful story we do every week called Swag on Six, Students Working at Greatness, where we profile an outstanding, inspirational kid. And we profiled this young woman, Susanna Barna, who is amazing. So I was at the school last week. She's okay. Her friends are okay. If anyone saw that story, if you're wondering, she's fine. I messaged with her father. But thinking about that school and how great it is, I mean, it is one of the best schools in the nation, one of the best high schools, public schools in Florida for sure. It sets a standard of excellence in every way, academically, athletically, musically. Their band is always top-notch. They just do everything well there. They have a very involved community. The city of Parkland is extremely proud of its public schools. The middle school next door, we did a brag about your school there Monday. We were there at the middle school next door. This is a community that loves its schools. It's very involved. So the shock waves from this are incredibly hard to understate. You cannot go to Parkland right now and not feel that sense of, how did this happen? How did it happen in our school? And the fact that it happens there just shows that it can happen anywhere, right? Because this is a place that does everything right and has very little crime, yet this happened there. So in the history of mass shootings in schools, a lot of them are suburban schools where you think everything is idyllic, and then something like this happens with a young man who has some kind of psychosis and some kind of mental illness, clearly, to do something like this. So it's just a horrific, horrific situation. I'll be back up there in a little while going to where the grief counselors are talking to parents and students. So that'll be on later today on NBC6 as I get going here in the morning. But, you know, I appreciate what you guys are doing. You know, not talking about sports today and just talking about something that's really impacting our community.
Yeah, Ari, you touched on, I think, what every parent's going through right now, dropping their kids off at school, a common everyday occurrence, and yet it's not so common or every day on a morning like this.
Yeah, that's for sure, right? And what can you do as parents except hug your kids and explain to them, depending on their age level, what happened? You don't want to hide this from them. They're going to find out. So you might as well explain it to them. One of my colleagues, Eric Harriman, who's one of our morning anchors, he has three kids in elementary school in Parkland, That's where he lives. And we were just talking together on Monday because he joined me at our Brag About Your School segment at West Glades Middle School about how great schools are in Parkland and how much he loves living in Parkland and how much his kids love going to school there. So this is a community that is just devastated. And the least we can do in South Florida is reach out, say a few prayers, get engaged with the debates as to how to prevent this from happening again, and try to support the people of Parkland right now.
Ari Adzer from NBC6 on with us right now talking about everything that happened yesterday in Parkland, Florida. What's weird is, and I tweeted something out last night, and I know that Ari was tagged in it as well. I know how hard the job is for us this morning talking about this, and we're not on the scene, and we weren't there with cameras, and we weren't there with our recording devices getting sound. Ari, you were, and a lot of other reporters from other TV stations were. And I wrote something along the lines of, like, you got to leave these kids alone, this and that. And I know, and I specifically was talking about one interview that I did hear, and I didn't hear Ari's last night. And I, it just hit me hard right then and there because one of the questions asked was, well, how do you feel right now? And it freaked me out because I'm thinking to myself, A, I kind of want to hear, but I don't. And Ari, you guys are always put in a very tough position. And I saw your reaction and your answer back on Twitter last night. We were going back and forth with someone on Twitter last night. You're put in a really tough position last night because you are there to report what's going on. But when the kids are walking out or the parents are walking out, you have to ask kind of the obvious questions, too, of how are you doing right now? What was the feeling like inside there? It's got to be tough to kind of ask those questions, but also tough to sit there and hear the answers and the reactions from kids that less than an hour before you were there were going through, I'm guessing, the scariest thing that they'll ever go through their entire life.
Oh, no question about that, Zach. We are in the media sometimes put in impossible positions. That doesn't mean you can't handle the situation with tact and with sensitivity. What you're referring to is I was getting a lot of heat on Twitter last night for an interview. I did a live interview with a young man who's a freshman. And his mother was right there, too. And this is, you know, we're standing out there on the sidewalk about a mile away from the school. People are on the south side of the Sawgrass on Coral Ridge Drive, and the stream of parents and students are walking from that distance to get to where they had parked. And as I'm standing there doing a live report, before I went on live, a mom and her son comes up, and the son seemed to be composed. He was a freshman. And I asked, is it okay? Do you guys want to go on live? We're going to be on live TV. Is that okay with you guys? And they both said yes. I said, I'm going to ask you to relate what you experienced, you know, and how this is affecting you. And I asked him, is that okay with you? And he said, yes. And the mother said, yes. So, you know, I tried to get prior permission and tell them what you're going to ask them. And then during the interview, he started crying. And I started, and to try to remove the pressure from him, I started talking to his mother at that moment when he started crying. And apparently my cameraman focused on him. He was on top of the live truck looking down. He wasn't even right next to me. He's on top of the live truck looking down. He focused on the boy who was crying as I'm talking to the mother. And that struck a lot of people the wrong way on Twitter. And look, I understand that, you know, and if I deserve criticism for that, so be it. The story is not about me. You know, I'm a big boy. I can handle the criticism. Anybody who wants to, slam me or whatever, that's fine, you know. Just keep your eye on the ball. And the ball here is these mass shootings. It's not about media. It's not about, you know, whether or not I was sensitive enough. I hope I was. You know, I'm a parent. I'm in that situation. I was gutted yesterday. I was literally in tears, almost cried during that interview on the air, trying to hold it together. It wouldn't be the first time I've cried on TV. I've done it many times, you know, talking to in emotional situations. So I was trying to hold it together, trying to be sensitive. And if these things happen, you know, it's live television. We're doing the best we can out there. And I can say that for all my colleagues. I know the people at other stations, you know, my colleagues at Channel 7, at Channel 4, Channel 10. Everybody tries to do the best they can. Most of us are parents. You know, most of us have a level of sensitivity. We understand, you know, the gravity of the situation. We understand what people are going through. And you're trying to also at the same time report that and express that to the audience. Everybody at home can understand as well, you know, look how horrible this is. Because you want people to understand the horror of it. Because if nobody does, then nothing changes.
Yeah, and Ari, you know, having been in those type of interviews, you never know what the person's going to respond. Some people just shut down. They don't want to talk to the media. And other people, it helps them to talk to me. They actually want the stories out. And so it's almost like you are a counselor in some ways in hearing their stories or letting them go through grief in the way they did. What else jumped out at you from the chaos of the scene yesterday?
Well, you just said it, chaos. At first, by the time we got there, it was we couldn't even get near the school. And this is the ironic thing. I was actually, my photographer and I were with Superintendent Robert Runcie an hour and a half before this happened. We were doing a piece, doing interviews for a piece on the controversial school bill in the Florida legislature, HB 7055. If you don't know what it is, look it up. Guys, there's a lot of interesting things in that bill. Anyway, we're getting ready to do a piece on that. So we're interviewing the superintendent at Monarch High School, which is just a few miles away from Parkland, from Douglas High School. And then we left, and then we were on our way back to the station in Miramar, and then we get the news that this happened. It was just crazy, insane. So we had to head right back to the area where we had just been. And by the time we got there, police had the whole area cordoned off, obviously. You couldn't get anywhere near the actual high school.
How far were you out?
We were at Coral Ridge Drive, just south of the Sawgrass Expressway. So if you know the area, you know that's almost like maybe half a mile to a mile away from the school, because the school is on the north side of the Sawgrass. We couldn't get to the north side of the Sawgrass because police had the whole area blocked off. And a lot of parents were just parked along the Sawgrass, right along the entrance ramp, all along the grass there, walking to get their kids from that area. So there was us and several other stations doing live reports right from that spot, because that's as close as we could get. And just talking to people as they came out and talking to students and talking to parents. And the thing that jumps out at you is that some kids were in such complete shock, they didn't know how to react. They were just walking away thinking, almost you could tell. Like one girl told me, I feel like I'm in a TV show. Like this isn't real. Like this didn't really happen. And then you have the opposite reaction of kids who are just, you know, beside themselves crying. So it takes a while for different people to process different things. And I've seen that in the past in traumatic situations. And it's just human nature. And today will be a much harder day as it sinks in and as people realize what they lost. You know, the death toll, I guess, is up to 18 now because that football coach died. Aaron Feist, we should talk about him. This is a man who was a assistant coach there and a security guard who I actually met the other day when I was at the school, because I saw him, I recognized him from his picture, nice guy. And apparently he literally confronted the gunman and was one of the first people shot and died at the hospital. And so, as you tweeted this morning, Zach, I saw your tweet. You called him a hero, and that's what these faculty members were. And we have reports from another young student who was in a classroom saying that her teacher blocked the door, and now he's dead. You know, this is what teachers do. You know, teachers swing into action, and some of them are heroes like that.
Yeah. So, no, it's great, Ari. I can't even imagine what the scene's going to be like even today. I'm sure yesterday was just unimaginable for anyone that wasn't there and only saw stuff on TV. I can imagine today is just going to be just as crazy down there by the school, with, you know, the compound, the police compound right outside now. And I know the FBI is obviously involved, and the governor was down here, and the president was, you know, like this is not a local kind of interest anymore. Yes,
obviously this is a national story. It's an international story. A couple of figure skaters, American figure skaters, were talking about it in Pyeongchang.
Yeah,
you know, expressing how they're skating for the victims in Parkland. So you know, this is a worldwide story, and let's say it again. We are the only country in the world where this routinely happens. So whatever we're doing, whatever side of the gun control debate you might be on, whatever we're doing now isn't working. That I think everyone can agree on, right? We need to do something. Whatever that something may be, there needs to be a discussion about it, because to have this many school shootings is just not normal, and
no,
shouldn't be happening.
Nope, we agree. We're on the same page.
We have a strong gun lobby. We have politicians who want money, and we have a voting public who hasn't really gone out and made this a cause. So we'll see what happens now, Ari.
It could be a cause. And like I said, I'm not going to stand here and take a side. I'm a journalist. I have to cover these issues. But I just think that people should be engaged on whatever side you're on and get involved and discuss the issue, because it's certainly not working the way it is right now. And maybe that's a school security issue. Maybe that's maybe it's an issue with guns. Maybe it's an issue with mental health treatments. Maybe it's an issue with everybody saying something when you suspect somebody might be a little off, or might be planning something like this. I can tell you from a security standpoint, having been to Parkland, to Douglas High School three times since the school year started for different stories, all of them very positive stories. When you walk in, I mean, the people there know me at the desk, but we still have to present our ID. You still have to present your ID. You still have to be checked in. You still have to wait there in the office before you can go into the school. So how this guy got in, I don't know, especially since he had been expelled, you know, and he was on the radar. So I'm not sure what happened. All that is for the investigation and all that is to be determined today and then the following days.
Well, if you walk in carrying an assault rifle, it's hard to stop. It sounded like Coach Feist, as you said, tried to stop him or help other people, and he got shot.
Yeah.
Did you cover the Fort Lauderdale shooting? Because this is the second mass shooting.
No, I was out of town. I was actually out of town, out of the country when the airport shooting happened. So this is the second mass shooting we've had in the space of, a year?
Yeah, 13 months, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's obviously a horrific situation for anything like this to happen. I didn't cover the nightclub shooting in Orlando either. I have colleagues who went up there who are still traumatized by what they saw and what they dealt with. You know, and as members of the media, we try to compartmentalize these things and put them aside and get on with your day. There's many times where I cover a tragedy, something horrible that happens, you know, and I come home and I try to forget it and deal with my life and deal with my kids, and that's it. But it's very, very hard sometimes to put these things away. And this one is not going to go away.
No, I don't think this is going to just go away anytime soon. Ari Adzer from NBC6 joining us this morning. Ari, I can imagine you have a busy day ahead of you. I'll check in with you later on today just to see what's going on. But we appreciate your time this morning.
Well, my pleasure being here, guys. I wish it was on a better circumstance.
Yes,
right?
Like you opened up with, I wish we were bringing you on to talk about the Heat last night or the Panthers or spring training starting, but that is not.
Another day, another show.
That's it. That's another time. Yeah, we'll figure that out at that point. Appreciate your time, Ari. We'll speak to you later.
All right, guys.
All right, that was Ari Adzer from NBC6. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more sound and coverage on the tragedy yesterday in Parkland.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, 8:29 here on 560 WQAM, Joe Rose Show. And Joe not in here today. Dave Hyde with us. If you've been with us for the last 2.5 hours or 10 minutes, whatever, you know, obviously we are talking about what happened yesterday at Douglas High School in Parkland and the tragedy. 17, it's reported 17 were murdered yesterday. I know that Ari said in the last segment or whatever, it could be 18 with the coach, but the count's still up to 17. I'm sure we'll hear more on all that today. 10:30, there is a news conference today to update everyone on what is going on. I am reading stuff on Twitter, the Parkland Library today. The grief counselors are available for the last 30 minutes, and they will be the rest of the day. Plenty of other places up there near the school also with grief counselors. And I can imagine a lot of students will be either sitting at home with their families today, obviously not going to school, or with a grief counselor if you were that close to one of these horrific incidents that happened yesterday where a teacher or another student was shot in front of you or near you. I can't even imagine what's going through their minds last night, today. Probably no sleep and just unimaginable in my head.
Yeah, it's a good day to hug the ones you love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We did this 13 months ago, Fort Lauderdale shooting.
That's right. That's
second mass shooting in just a little over a year in South Florida. In Fort Lauderdale, in Broward.
Sure.
And
Broward County,
completely different ones. One guy flies across the country with a gun. He packs a gun. He checks a gun, gets it, and starts shooting. And here, an ex-student just walks into his former high school and with an assault weapon and opens up shooting. But
crazy.
You know, at some point we got to address the whole gun issue in America. And we're kind of, we've sidestepped that for years.
Yeah. And I think, you could always think after something like this, oh, now it's going to be in the forefront. But we've been unfortunately talking about so many incidents over the last decade or so where we've always talked about it getting to the forefront and it hasn't. So you would hope that at some point it does. And I hope it does at some point, because obviously the less of these kind of shows and things that we have to cover, the better for all of us and our health and everything also. And the less we have to talk about 17 people that were murdered yesterday.
After the Fort Lauderdale shooting, I actually did a story. The Sun Sentinel sent me around the country with a handgun.
Is that right?
Flying around the country.
Wow.
Went to 5 different cities, one-way tickets, sort of to see what it was like, how difficult or easy. And you know, I didn't grow up in a gun, but I went out and I bought a Walther 9mm semi-automatic, which is what the shooter had at the Fort Lauderdale airport.
Yeah.
And just put that, checked that in luggage, unloaded as followed all the laws. And it was very simple to do. It's sort of like driving 55 down the highway. As long as you follow all the laws, there's no issue with it. But it was interesting to do for me. You know, I got a concealed weapon license. And the interesting part is when you came into airports, there were all laws for, you know, TSA handles the gun once you check it in. But when it comes back to you, it's the airport, airlines business, and some would just set it out there with the rest of the luggage. Some you'd have to show ID to get it back. And there, a couple, it was just sitting there on the conveyor belt, you know, stopped because I was a little late because of traffic.
Wow, that
so,
is...
So, you know, these are the type of stories that, are, you know, here we've had two mass shootings and, you know, 5 killed in Fort Lauderdale, 17 killed in this one. And I don't want to say it's part of the fabric now in America, but...
It might be.
But it's a repeating story.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate that it's a repeating story, and we have to talk about it a lot. Let's get to some sound. Eric Spoelstra last night, head coach of the Miami Heat, obviously talked about the tragedy in Parkland.
Yeah, I'd like to say our thoughts and prayers are to all the students and families and teachers, everybody in Parkland that's suffering from just an incredibly tragic and absolutely senseless act. That's horrifying, you know, as we're finding out more information about it. And I just, you know, want them to know we're thinking about them. It makes this game feel totally insignificant. And it's just mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. And it is hard, I'm sure, at that point to go on and play a basketball game after hearing about all the stuff that happened last night. I got a lot of texts coming in saying, talk sports, not going to happen today here on the show. We're talking about what happened yesterday. We will try to get back into the normal realm of sports tomorrow. I'm not sure what Big O and Hawk and Crowder are doing today. I can imagine it's going to be something along the lines of what we're doing too, talking about this horrific thing that happened yesterday. Let's hear from more sound from the head coach of the Florida Panthers, Bob Bugner, before the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, there was it was a crazy afternoon, obviously, and I'm trying to get a hold of people back home and make sure Brody was okay. And we understand that the suffering and the devastation back home, we talked about as a team before the game, and trying to you know, represent what's you know, with some pride for our community back home. And I know the guys had some heavy hearts playing out there, so I think it was difficult, you know, and it was a game that had we had a lot going on in the background.
Yeah, a lot going on the heads, I'm sure, and the minds of the players last night. A lot of them do live out in Coral Springs and Parkland, and I know that's where the Panthers' ice den, I guess it is, in Coral Springs. That's where they practice. So, yeah, a lot. Derek McKenzie, a player on the team, I believe has a child in school out there. I don't know if it's at Stoneman Douglas or it's at the middle school right there, but Derek McKenzie also spoke.
As the captain of the Florida Panthers, Derek McKenzie, thanks for stopping by here in the first intermission. As a resident of Parkland and a father of children that go to school there, obviously a very tough day. Tell us how it's been for you, your teammates, and the whole organization.
Yeah, pretty tough day. You know, with the time change, got a lot of the news around lunchtime and just before nap, and you know, probably a lot tougher on our wives today, who a lot of them, you know, spent stuck in lines and kids left in lockdown. And you know, with all that said, very fortunate, you know, that all our families got out of it safe. And certainly, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families, you know, the victims, and you know, getting to know a lot of the police force, whether it's you know, Parkland or Coral Springs or the SWAT team or Broward County in general, I can tell you that they're pretty awesome guys, and I'm sure it would have been a lot worse if it wasn't for those guys.
Derek McKenzie from the Florida Panthers, Bob Bugner, head coach of the Florida Panthers, and Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Miami Heat, all reaction to what happened yesterday, the tragedy in Parkland, Florida. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear more sound from Will Manso, Jason Jackson, more from Spoelstra, Steve Kerr, Steve Goldstein. A lot of sound, sports relevant, I guess you could say. We'll hear all that coming up next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, back here at 560 WQAM. Dave Hyde sitting in with me today. No Joe Rose. Obviously, our show dominated today by what happened yesterday, the tragedy in Parkland. 17 murdered. The suspect is in a Broward County jail this morning, or the Broward Sheriff's Office jail this morning. I know that downtown Fort Lauderdale, I believe. So that's where he is now. We've been playing sound all morning from some of our sports coaches, from players down here. We'll continue to do that right now with you. Last night on Fox Sports, Will Manso, Jason Jackson, Eric Spoelstra, all in the beginning of the show, all talked about what happened and the tragedy yesterday.
As we begin our coverage tonight of Heat basketball here on Fox Sports Sun, we must first take a moment to send our thoughts to the victims, families, and everyone affected by the senseless shooting today, not too far from our studios here in Fort Lauderdale at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. From all of us at Fox Sports Sun and the Miami Heat, you are in our thoughts and prayers tonight as we begin coverage of our game. And we begin that coverage by sending it out to Philadelphia to continue to talk about the tragedy that happened here. Jason Jackson joining us now from Philadelphia. And Jax, I can imagine that as this terrible news came down, it made its way to the Heat locker room, to the coaches and the players.
Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra, Will, kind enough to start his remarks today on that very subject. As you know, when anything happens of this proportion, this type of tragedy, this thoughtlessness, this insane devastation that goes on in so many communities, you feel like it's not going to happen in yours. It radiates throughout the nation, including the centerpiece of it, this very team. Here's what Coach Spoelstra had to say.
I'd like to say our thoughts and prayers are to all the students and families and teachers, everybody in Parkland that's suffering from just an incredibly tragic and absolutely senseless act. It's horrifying, as we're finding out more information about it. And I just, want them to know we're thinking about them. It makes this game feel totally insignificant. It's just mind-boggling.
There's no one right thing to say, no one right thing to do at this hour. Sheriff Israel back in Broward County updating really the entire area, if not the entire nation, and those interested around the world of what went down today at Stoneman Douglas, which is just thoughtless when you have young people in the exact place where you want them. So the somber feeling, the feeling of devastation, all of those are correct feelings, and if this is the right place for people to be, to find something, a gathering place, something to think of, something else about, then we're here to provide the game that will be played between the Sixers and the Heat tonight. Will, back to you, John.
Jack, very well said, and Eric Spoelstra as well. As Jack just mentioned, Jack's a parent. John, you and I are parents, as so many that are watching tonight. The feeling and of understanding what is happening tonight, it's hard to take in. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with all the families, with the victims. It is in our minds, it is our hearts tonight. We're going to try to cover this game with respect. We're going to try to, obviously, at the same time, understand what is going on in our community.
Yeah, it's hard to understand what's going on with the community, and it's hard to understand how this all came about. It's hard to understand why this happened. There is no easy answer for any of that. There is no explanation for what happened last night, yesterday. I don't think there is going to be, and I don't think anyone's going to get the answer they really want to hear.
Well, that's either. The problem there. You senseless, thoughtless, insane, and what's going to happen? We're going to go through the trial. We're going to go through all this, and that will be the conclusion, senseless, thoughtless, insane. I mean, there won't be – he's obviously mentally disturbed, but he was ejected from school. Yeah. It sounded like the red flags were seen.
Yes.
Up to the point the family he's living with, he had an assault rifle.
Yeah, you're right. And we heard, I guess, was the attorney for the family came out and spoke, and they kind of knew that the rifle was there. And I think one of the quotes from the attorney was, well, I mean, it was his.
It was supposed to be locked up.
It was supposed to be locked up, but it was his.
And it evidently was locked up until he took it out.
Yeah. So that's a lot to listen to right now. Now, Steve Kerr also was asked about what happened down here, I believe, before the game. And these were his comments yesterday, a national kind of voice instead of one of our local voices on the incident yesterday in Parkland.
It doesn't seem to matter to our government that children are being shot to death day after day in schools. It doesn't matter that people are being shot at a concert, at a movie theater. It's not enough, apparently, to move our leadership, our government, the people who are running this country, to actually do anything. That's demoralizing. But we can do something about it. We can vote people in who actually have the courage to protect people's lives and not just bow down to the NRA because they've financed their campaign for them. So hopefully we'll find enough people, first of all, to vote good people in, but hopefully we can find enough people with courage to actually help our citizens remain safe and focus on the real safety issues, not building some stupid wall for billions of dollars that has nothing to do with our safety, but actually protecting us from what truly is dangerous, which is maniacs with semi-automatic weapons, just slaughtering our children. It's disgusting. Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be something that's talked about a lot from National Voices today, and we were not joking about it before, but Greg Popovich is another guy that's very outspoken on everything that goes on with the president and the country and everything. He has a comment about everything, and we kind of like it's like a breath of fresh air sometimes when it comes from Pop. Other people hate it. It's just kind of where you are in the world and where your mind is today, and I'm sure he will talk about it as well. When asked, it's going to be All-Star Weekend. I don't think he's the All-Star coach, so it's not like he'll be there in the with a bunch of media around him. But if they do have practice or something before that, you know you'll hear something.
It's interesting because not many people have either the standing or the desire to put themselves out there.
Yeah, you're right.
Like a Steve Kerr and a Greg Popovich in the sports world, because a lot of them feel, look, if I wanted to be hired and have an opinion in that world, I would have gone into that world.
Sure,
And there's no benefit to them, really, to their fan base out and be talking about this. So, I really respect and appreciate the fact that they do talk about real-life issues.
Racism, gun control, the stuff that's going on in our country right now. Also, last night, the Florida Panthers were in action, and a friend of the show and someone you've heard on the radio a bunch of times with us as well, and you see him on TV every night, one of the voices of the Florida Panthers, Steve Goldstein. This is how the broadcast kind of started for them as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.